is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Tyler. What's up, Tyler?
What's up, guys?
Do you good guys kind of feel like Dell is already dead to us?
I do. I had that same feeling walking in, like, oh, I just said Dell died.
Dell's no longer with us.
And that's not a normal reaction when someone goes on vacation, is to assume they die.
But he's dead to me.
That's understandable.
You know? I mean, all that hate. Tyler, how much hate do you have in your heart?
Not enough.
There's some, but not as much. Not, as
do you have more or less now that you're assistant program director?
I would say probably less.
You have less?
Yeah.
Less hate in your heart?
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got, like, he took a step up, got a little more money, a little less.
Well, what's the...
He was harboring resentment towards people.
Right, but what's the worst thing about working for AJ?
Jiu-jitsu matches.
You two have to grapple?
Yeah, he's got to roll.
That's you two have to roll around on a mat together naked?
They got to roll.
What?
They got to roll in AJ's office.
Not that. No. Not that far.
Now. Not the naked part. You're a little out of line right there.
I'm just asking. Is that what he makes you do?
Because we can
call. No, it's not like a Weinstein environment here.
Okay. I was going to say, we could call HR and get that, you know.
No.
You don't have to
Laura
put up
will
with
take
that.
Care of that for you.
You don't have to put up
listen,
with
if you need anything, listen, but we just want to know on the air, you know, what is possibly, what the horrific part of working for AJ, because it's got to be horrific, what the horrific part is working for AJ. You know what I'm saying?
You work for him.
Yeah, kind of, but you know what? There are stages. Like, I got Tyler in between me and him, which is, you know, nice.
I don't work for him.
I'm the buffer zone?
Yeah. You're the buffer.
I don't work for him. I work for Roger Goodell.
Yeah, well, you work for both.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Goodell.
You work for Mr. Gow and Mr. Goodell.
I work for Mr. Gow and Mr. Goodell.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. So Dell's off for like 2 months or something, thank God, as we go into the college football season. He's going to miss the beginning of the college football season. I don't even know why he wants to work
in this
business.
So he's in California?
He's going to California. He's going to Vegas.
Oh.
He already recorded week one of his podcast already.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you a quick question here. Do you remember, Tyler, are you aware of the story of Dell's dad taking him to Vegas? It's a heartwarming tale about a dad who took a son in a pickup truck, circled around the parking lot of a major casino, parked, left his son, I think, in the truck while he went and gambled.
He
went inside and gambled, and then his dad came back out and said, "Let's go to sleep now, son."
Yes.
And they just slept in the
pickup.
I was not. I don't think I've heard that story.
It's a heartwarming story.
It's a heartwarming
story. And you wonder why he has all this hatred built up in his system.
That's a very curious matter.
Well, it's not really. You
it
can
is
see.
A curious
you
matter.
You can see why. And then he tells the story of how his dad took his brother once to Home Depot, and instead went to the airport, dropped him off, and sent him back to Nigeria.
I can just tell you what his dad does, gets things done.
Well, he really does.
I mean, I'm just telling you right now, if Dell's dad makes a campaign promise, it's coming true.
Oh, it will happen. Okay. Send him back.
Send who back? That's your own son. You tricked him back to Nigeria.
There would be a wall right now. There's no question there would be a wall.
I'm just telling you, Dell's dad just said, well, he's going to go back one way or another. How do you plan on doing that? Faking a trip to Home Depot where he brings his packed suitcase. Like, how are you going to get him to pack a suitcase to Home Depot? Don't worry about it. How are you going to get it go to a casino? Your son's only 12. I got a plan.
So let me ask you this question right now. As is right now, when the Astros are in the first round and playing the wild card team, because they will have, they're only one game behind the Yankees now. Oh, by the way, the Yankees went to Oakland and got their asses swept. So the Astros right now, after that loss to Detroit the other night, which, by the way, did you see the bets in Vegas on Justin Verlander?
I saw one guy got annihilated.
Two guys, 63,000 and 50,000.
I knew about the 63,000.
63,000 and 50,000, and they both lost.
Oh, well.
So just trying to win 10,000.
I've never seen. These numbers are absolutely outlandish on the Astros right now.
Yeah.
It's just outlandish.
So the Astros will have the best record in the league. I don't know. They're three games behind the Dodgers right now, so we'll see whether or not they can catch the Dodgers. It sure would be nice to not have to play, to have Yordan in the lineup for four of the seven games or not having to play him in the field. So Ryan Pressly back on the IL, which is what it's called now,
mm-hmm.
4 to 6 weeks, could be back right before the playoffs start. But that knee was bothering him. They found something else in there. So now he's on the IL again. Joe Biagini comes in yesterday. Slap, 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 slap. And this was the Tigers. Slap, slap, slap around. Three runs. Got to bring in Osuna to get a save on a 6-0 game in the ninth inning.
That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable that right now your bullpen is in a place where, and I don't care. They're not losing. Okay, they're going to win the division. We're trying to win world championships over here in this room.
What? Who?
In this room, these two hosts are worried about winning world championships. You guys can sit there and worry about how many, if you can get to 100 wins and what's your number going to be. We're trying to find ways to win titles in this room. This is a world championship laboratory going on in this show.
Yeah, that's what we
You're
do.
You're either in or out, Tyler. You're either in or out.
Yeah, Tyler, go ahead.
It's that simple.
Go ahead.
I'm wearing the Apollo 11 hat.
Dell's out. Okay, you're in.
Well, did you steal that from Gilbert?
No, I bought it with my hard-earned money.
Yeah, he's got his own. Dell's out. Dell's already out.
Gilbert has picked up his hat, by the way.
Oh yeah,
Gilbert did pick up his championship hat.
Good. A couple days ago.
He told us.
Good.
Rode his bike up into the lobby.
Yes. Yeah. So Gilbert, did you pick up your hat? Yes.
When the playoffs start,
I'm not going to play the.
I want you to play this game with me. What is their bullpen?
Brad Peacock.
Yep. Okay, in order that you trust them.
Nobody.
What do you mean nobody?
I don't trust anybody in the bullpen.
Well, you have to have an order of, I want to bring this guy in, then this guy in, then this guy in.
Let's see. Should it be the injured list guy who hasn't pitched well?
Yes, probably.
For the last month and a half?
Yes.
Should it be
the
blown save guy?
Hey.
Yeah, okay. Pressly.
I guess.
By the way, not with the team currently because he's hurt again.
Right.
So that's the guy I trust the most. The guy who's coming off who's now on a second injury stint after only making it back for about, I don't know, was it even 2 weeks? It wasn't even 2 weeks, was it?
Yeah, he was around, I think.
Is that long? Yeah. So I guess it's him one.
I guess.
It's not Biagini. Send him back.
It might be Peacock. It may be when it comes
Peacock.
Down,
you know why?
It probably is Peacock.
Because he hasn't really pitched much over the last two months.
Yeah, and we trust him now because we haven't seen him in a while.
You know who's next? Josh James, because I haven't seen him pitch forever.
Yeah.
Josh James is right there, too. How come? I haven't seen him be bad lately.
Right.
I guess. And then Osuna?
He hasn't pitched in a month. And so, I trust him the most.
And then Wade Miley.
Wade Miley will probably be in the rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got three guys.
Will Harris?
I mean, why would I trust Will Harris? He's been with the Astros forever, and he always pitches well to a point, and then you can't trust him anymore. I don't know why I'm trusting him in 2019.
It does kind of feel like he was the setup for Joe Sambito, doesn't it?
He's been here forever. He was on the 15 team where he was good. And then he was bad by the end of the year. And the only ones you could trust were Gregerson
and then
Sip.
You couldn't trust. He gave up all the runs to Kansas City.
Yeah, it was Sip. Actually, I think it was Sip. Was it Will Harris and Gregerson were the three you could trust? No. It was, I can't remember who was the third. It was Gregerson you felt like you could trust, Tony Sipp, and then there was, and who was the
they
other?
They gave three relievers $6 million.
All the work.
They gave Sipp $6 million a year, $18 million. They gave Gregerson $18 million. And they gave, you remember, he was from St. Louis, came from St. Louis. I'll get it.
Giles.
No, there was one more guy, and only they all fell apart.
Yeah. Oh, you mean in 15?
Yeah, in 15.
Who are we thinking of?
You remember. He was an all-star. Yes, he came from St. Louis. Gosh.
Not Josh Fields, because Josh Fields got you Yordan.
No.
He was on that team.
Is going to forever be one of the great Astros ever.
Oh, I've got a special place in my heart for Josh Fields.
Not Pat Neshek.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Neshek. Yeah, he fell apart, too.
Yeah.
And he was an all-star, wasn't he?
Yes.
Pat Neshek, Will Harris has been an all-star and a closer.
Yep. Davinsky was an all-star.
I know. That's why all-stars don't matter anymore. All-stars for pitchers, for relief pitchers, it's irrelevant. If you make it, it doesn't mean that you're going to be good. It's not. It's one of the worst indicators in all of sports.
Yeah.
Well, he's an all-star.
So? I want to tell you,
Pro Bowl running backs.
Harris has been in 54 games. He has. But what about Joe Smith? We're not going to trust Joe Smith?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not trusting Joe Smith?
No, I think you can't.
Who do you trust more, Allie LaForce or Joe Smith?
Well, I trust Allie LaForce for goodness and wholesomeness, but I don't know. As far as pitching, I'm going to go with Joe in this one.
You do you.
Here's the deal. No, Joe Smith, Will Harris, Brad Peacock, Ryan Pressly, Osuna, and then... Rondon.
You're going to say Rondon out loud?
Josh James.
And you're only saying Josh James because he hasn't pitched.
That's six. You got four starters.
Naming all the players.
No, those are your six in the bullpen. What? And then you're going to have Sanchez when he comes back.
Here's the good thing. Here's legitimately the good thing.
That's seven plus four starters. That's 11.
With these three starters, Cole, Verlander, and there is a chance you could just go three. But with Cole, Verlander, depending on, now if you go three, it's probably gone wrong for you. But Verlander, Cole, and Greinke.
I don't think you do because you want Verlander on 4 days rest. You don't want him on three.
Okay, so if you've got these three, there is a chance that you don't have to be as concerned about how deep your bullpen. In other words, you can be like a Mike D'Antoni playoff bench.
Well, that's the hope, with the $30 million pitchers you have. Right. Yes, that's the hope.
Right, and it's reasonable.
And now, after watching Cole last night, how much do you regret your decision to not sign him this offseason?
You have to talk to Jeff Leno.
You're the one that didn't want to sign him. You wanted to see another 7 years of him.
You have to talk to Jeff Leno.
You weren't
and Jim
convinced
Crane.
About him yet.
Jeff Leno and
you
Jim Crane.
You wanted to see another seven seasons.
Have you talked to Jeff Leno about this?
Yeah, I have.
What did he say?
He said, listen, here's the deal. More than likely, Scott Boras said, we ain't signing nothing.
Scott Boras doesn't like to do any deals
no,
early.
No, ever. This dude's going to free agency, and he's probably going to be the highest paid pitcher in baseball.
He's already said that about like career. Everybody he has, he always says that. He doesn't do deals early.
No. Do you see this guy? I'm telling you, there is a good chance.
He's a horse now.
This offseason, Gerrit Cole will be the highest paid pitcher in baseball.
You were right about him. One thing. He's out there humping it at 98, picking spots around the zone. He's at 98 in the sixth inning. Just lasers.
He's a big, strong. You know, he's from California. He looks more like Iowa.
Act like that's not what the Astros want. This is why Stroman just didn't fit the bill. They want big, corn-fed, hard-throwing dudes with hooks.
I just don't think they could do a deal because they looked into Stroman twice.
Yeah, they may have. He just doesn't fit there. When you look at their Corbin Martin, everybody, guys.
Look at Luno, though, getting Cole with a couple of years left. I mean, you want to talk. He knew exactly what he wanted. He got him from Pittsburgh, said, no, this is, watch this. And you put him with Brent Strom? Holy crap. This team has to win this year. It has got to win it all. This is the window right here.
I think, with Greinke and Verlander, I mean, you really do need to develop that minor league. You need to develop an arm in the minor leagues at some point.
Well, thank you, Forrest Whitley, for really coming through.
Well, I mean, who – so out of these three starters, who's the guy that you developed? Out of the big three? Out of four?
None. No.
You haven't developed any of them.
Yeah, look at –
Corbin Martin is gone, who they were high on. And now you got Whitley with, tricking around with double-digit ERAs right around there. Like, who's coming up?
Nobody. Nobody. All right. Thanks for all that hope you just gave us.
Well, you're the one that started it with the bullpen talk.
No. Thanks. Thanks for not signing Cole.
See where bullpen talk always goes?
Thanks for not signing Cole, and thanks for that hope we have in the minors.
Hey, I said trade for Grinke. You're welcome. Hey, I want to tell you about Minsky Clinic's ability to diagnose very, very quickly what is going on with you from a testosterone level. Now, when you go to a doctor, they'll take I had a blood drawn recently to check up on some stuff. They did the full exam, and they came back with, this level, cholesterol, blah, blah, blah. And they got to testosterone level, and they told me that number, and the number is where it's supposed to be, and that wasn't a surprise because I go over to Minsky Clinic, and Minsky Clinic, what they do is they recognize where the number is. You want to be above 400 in this one level, they'll explain it to you. And if you're not, then they can start to treat you. And the first time you get a treatment, they'll tell you that many people, the very first time they get a treatment, within 2 to 3 days, you will feel a spike in energy. Within 2 to 3 months, you start to see real differences in your body type, especially if you're doing just a little bit of working out. If you're doing a lot of working out, you're going to start to see major transformations with your body. And that's because testosterone is very important for lean muscle mass. It's very important for metabolism. It's important for energy level. It can have a big impact on libido. So make sure that something that important, that fuel, is there in your gas tank with Men's T Clinic. Let them diagnose you and then treat you and find the right level of treatment that gets you to your optimal you. Men'sTClinic.com. They've got Pearland, Pasadena, Cypress, the Heights, and of course right there in the Heights is where I head out to. All you have to do is exit Durham and Shepherd, and it is a quick stop right here in the Houston area. Make sure that you go to menstclinic.com. 5 locations near you.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:21 ESPN 97.5. Yeah, I went by to see the boys yesterday over at Prime Social.
Yeah, man, I just heard.
Yeah, and I'm just so excited to get it back open. Starting the tournaments. It looks like the tournaments might start a little. They're talking about starting the tournaments a little later than noon now. We'll see what it is. But there's so much to do. I mean, they took all the computers, and it's just.
Did they get them back?
Not yet. It's just
that is the squirreliest. I wish we could say everything.
I wish that I could tell dirtiest, everything I know thing. About this thing.
I mean, I wish I could just sue.
Yeah.
That was such bull crap. And we knew it was from the beginning.
The only one who won was Lions, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
Lions, that it just got all...
They're like, oh, sweet.
Sweet. All right, that's closed.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Everyone's going to be back
come here.
Over at Prime.
And we'll charge $60 for you to play here. Holy crap.
So I'm going through this 2015 Astros team. Do you remember the sweetness of... I do. The Oliver Perez.
Oh, yeah, I remember Oliver
Perez. Of course. Brett Oberholzer.
Uh-huh. Lefty, because Aaron Oberholzer's a golfer, and I kept confusing those two.
He was just the starter. How about Joe Thatcher, the pitcher who made 43 appearances?
If I'm not mistaken, Joe Thatcher was a submariner, wasn't he?
Joe Thatcher had played in 43 games. Yeah. And had 22 2/3 innings.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember Joe Thatcher.
I'm pretty sure Joe Thatcher was a submarine.
And then this bullpen was actually really good.
Came from Laredo.
Yes, as they say. This bullpen was actually pretty good for much of the year and then fell apart by the end.
Well, it always does.
Well, here's the
what
names.
Were the total innings? I bet you it was 500. It had to be over 500.
I'll have to check. You only had four. You had two starters with 200 innings, Keuchel and McHugh. Lance McCullers with 125, Scott Feldman with 108, and then Roberto Hernandez.
The beauty of a Scott Feldman. They gave him $30 million.
And then that's when everyone wanted, just spend money on anybody. It doesn't matter, Jim. Just get us to 71 wins. Like, what are y'all talking about? Let that man do what he's doing.
Actually, Scott Feldman was the first guy that they paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was the first guy.
That's an example. Well, at first it was scary. Like, this is what they're
running. Why are you doing that?
It's funny because he's the exact opposite of what they look for now.
Yeah.
They look for fast. Well, he had the curveball, but they look for guys that can hump it up there with a good fastball, He did have size, but they also look for guys who are not strikeout oriented, who hit home runs. And back then it was Crush City, and you couldn't, you know, you had Chris
Carter. Oh, yeah, it was home run or strikeout.
Home run or strikeout. And you look at where they were just to get where they needed to get to then in the short term to create a little, to create a winning culture, and where they are now, I mean, completely different. Completely different. And that's why they're World Series contenders now. That's why they won one. But look at this. You know, Will Harris had a 2.28 that year. You had Luke Gregerson 3.54, which is still not great for a closer because, you know, there's blown saves in there. Pat Neshek went up to a 4.12, where he was good at the time. Tony Sipp, 2.15.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that year Neshek was an all-star.
No, I think it was that year because he fell apart later that year. And then I want to say 2016 was when Will Harris was an all-star.
Yeah.
But Neshek, yeah. Neshek and Harris both
all-stars. Gregerson was an all-star. Neshek was an all-star.
That's why. Relievers who are all-stars.
Will Harris was an all-star. Devenski was an all-star.
Just random.
McHugh should have been an all-star last year, and look what, how he's fallen apart. I mean, we didn't even mention McHugh for the postseason roster. That's where he's gotten to now. I mean, I know he dodged a baseball and like...
And they're making a bobblehead about it?
That's it's Saturday.
The Matrix, head. Yeah. The Matrix style.
But that's cool. I mean, that's nice. At least he's got a bobblehead. But
dude, Pat Neshek has two All-Star games. He had one in 14, not 15. Had one in 14.
Who was the All-Star in 15? Gregerson?
It had to be Will Harris in 15. Because I think that's when Harris started closing.
That's right.
He lost his closing position.
You all don't trust a Cy Snead to be utterly dominant in the pen in the playoffs? No, Chase. Nobody trusts Cy Snead. I mean, he's got the greatest name to be a dominant pitcher
in
baseball.
I think you're right. I think 16 was his... he was a 16.
Who?
So it was 2014 was Neshek.
Okay.
15 was Gregerson. 16 was Will Harris. Harris made it into the closer's role.
Devenski was 17.
Devenski was 17. By 17, by the end of the year, Will Harris had gone from great bullpen pitcher to closer to failed closer in the same year in 16. Devo went from all-star to rapid gum chewer, trying to gain any level of confidence he could in a postseason.
Yeah, you can't have him in a postseason roster. No. Chris Carter has 32 homers. That's right. I heard that I think Charlie was talking about it. Chris Carter has 32 homers in the Mexican League. How about that? That Chris Carter is still around hitting bombs
in the Mexican League?
In the Mexican League. I mean, that's fun. Good for him.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's fine. He's either strike. He's like fun. He's Chris Carter. He's fun. I got a question. Okay, we'll go do it on the other side because we got. I want to talk some Texans football because I thought there were a couple of interesting quotes from Bill O'Brien yesterday, and I'm not sure I believe wholeheartedly. Mm. And then the other one is, well, it's kind of telling if you want to know the truth. So we'll do that on the other side right here. Let's quickly get to a break and talk about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite. He's about, I think he's up now. I'm not sure. He should be up. Get up, Jeff. If you're not up, that's ridiculous because there's a lot of people right now that need you to put in some damn marble. That need you to put in some damn countertops and vanities and finish their damn kitchens, right? Outdoor kitchens or indoor kitchens. I mean, he remodels it all. We had issue with our counter at home as well. His guys came in and put a new molding on the whole thing. It looked like a brand. It would look perfect because the boy used to like take parts. He used to hang on the edge of the countertop and rip off the molding. That's, you know, what he did because he's a kid and that's what they do. Well, if you have any issues whatsoever with your countertops, Jeff Aronoff does. He takes care of that business for you. Now, he'll put in entire countertops. He'll put in entire bathrooms. He'll put in entire outdoor kitchens, patios. I mean, he ain't coming to your house and replacing a stone. It just ain't happening. What he's doing is huge jobs. And that's what Jeff Aronoff does, an Absolute Marble and Granite. I mean, it's a big-time company. You need big-time a worker. You need a big-time guy that's going to come and get a big-time job done. You got that big job that's got to get done with all that marble? 713-880-2822. Call him right now. 713-880-2822. Wake him up. Absolute Marble and Granite.
Now to check, what's the program? I just blow the bag.
ESPN975.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So some interesting stuff yesterday. Will Fuller left the field yesterday. And so I saw, I was on Twitter, somebody said, hopefully it's not serious. He looked like he was fine, walking off. And when they got to the post-practice press conference with Bill O'Brien, here's what he had to say about Will Fuller.
No, again, we're just like, it's the same thing with any, look, I understand, look, you know, the injury questions, I understand it, you know, but, you know, we're just trying to manage reps. So let me just go into it with you, okay? Like, with every veteran player, okay, we try to map out before preseason starts, like, okay, how are we going to get, we know this guy is going to be on the team. How are we going to get this guy ready for the first game relative to what his health is? So we really do a lot of counting the reps, full speed reps, walkthrough reps, how many reps he has, you know, leading up to the first game. And so every guy's a little bit different. Everything's, you know, every player is different relative to what their schedule is. And so Will, we're just managing reps with him.
Okay, are you buying that?
You know,
that
the Khalil
walked
thing,
off the field early and that was managing reps?
See, the Khalil thing is, this is why it's hard to buy it, is Khalil's banged up.
Yeah, well, okay, here's answer about Matt. He said it's the same with Matt Khalil. Listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's been a great teammate. He's done a really good job in learning the offense. When he's been in there, he's played very well. We've seen a lot of good things from him when he's played and practiced. And we had a plan for him coming in to manage his reps, to get him ready for the season, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to stick to that. You know, he came off of a knee injury last year. You know, he was signed in free agency, and he came off of a knee injury from his year in Carolina. And we're just trying to do a good job of managing him the best we can to get him ready for the season.
And see, that's why, I mean, he's banged up. This isn't about managing reps where you're out for this long.
Well, he says this was anticipated. No, that's what I was saying here. It was anticipated.
Well, this is why I'm not really buying the Will Fuller thing.
Yeah.
That's why I have a hard time buying it, because he's telling you that the guy who's hurt is out with they're managing his reps. I mean, you were maybe going to manage his reps, but the guy's missed practice for a while.
Yeah.
This isn't managing reps. This is he's not practicing because he's hurt.
Yeah. And I think that there is a, you know,
coaches,
I don't know why. I don't know why he would be protecting Will Fuller, because I think everybody go, oh Lord, again Will Fuller, my goodness, blah 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 blah, or they don't want the rest of the league to know that Will Fuller might be, or Matt Khalil, or I don't know, maybe you know, there's very little that you can trust about what coaches say, especially injuries. And it's not just Bill O'Brien. It's they want to mask it. They don't want that information out there. They just don't. It's because, you know, I mean, guys could attack a certain parts of your body when you do come back or whatever. That was the old thing in hockey. You never said what was injured in hockey because guys would go right after it. If you had a knee injury, guys would take your knee out right now.
Well, they also don't, you know, they also just don't. Coaches don't like talking about any injuries.
No
coaches do, because they don't want, if they have an opportunity, in the preseason, they don't have to share information really. And so they're not bound by league rules to share information. And so they'd rather not. Because they don't want to give any – they'd rather you not have any idea.
No.
When I say you, meaning everybody,
right.
Other teams, anybody.
Right. Now, they have to because of league rules, because of gambling and all of that stuff, but they are going to hide whatever they possibly can. There is – okay, if Will Fuller plays, if Will Fuller is on the field in Dallas, that will tell you that, no, they're just managing his reps, that this was – if you don't see if Will Fuller isn't dressed out – then you know that there might be, there's a possibility, the real possibility that there is something with Will Fuller. Whatever the case may be, please don't be hurt. Good Lord. Haven't even gotten to this third preseason game.
I started to throw up whenever I heard he had walked off the field. I went, like, I got real sick, and then I was like, is QT dead also? Is the first thing I thought. When I walked in, I thought, is Dell dead? And then when I heard that Will QT was still alive. I mean, Kiki QT, that's same thing.
Same thing.
Will QT, Kiki Fuller, it doesn't matter. It's the same.
Carlos QT.
I'm so tired
Kiki
of fantasy
Correa.
Football people telling me Kiki QT has a chance because he had like 11 catches one game. and everyone's all hyped up on Kiki QT. I'm just like, all I want to say is, how in the world are you trusting anyone who hasn't been able to stay on the field? He's hurt literally right now. He's hurt.
Yeah.
What is anybody in fantasy football getting excited about him for?
He did get to play in a whole preseason game.
No, he didn't. He got hurt against Green Bay.
He got hit and with the ball hit him and on his punt return and they scored a touchdown.
Yeah, it wasn't a whole preseason game. He was literally hurt the ankle or the foot that game.
Well, whatever. I mean, it says you.
No, it's not. It's not says me. It's a factual matter.
So
it's a matter of actual fact that Kiki QT is hurt again and Will Fuller walked off the field.
So also the last question, which I found the most interesting. This is the most that we have heard about the running back position of the Houston Texans this offseason.
You know, I think it depends on what type of running back you have. I mean, I think that with the running back situation that we have, it's totally different than what we had last year. Lamar's the same, but we added Tywan Jones, who's an excellent special teams player and a very good running back. He does a lot of good things in the running game, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. And then we added Duke Johnson when we traded with Cleveland, and he's – the past 3 days has been, you know, doing a good job for us, learning the offense, very smart, you know, catches the ball well. So, you know, we think he can help us. And so just with those guys, those two guys right there, and then adding Gillespie. Gillespie has been a good special teams player this preseason, and he can catch the ball in the backfield. So, you know, I think that's a big part of the offense when we can get that going, because it's matched up on underneath coverage that can help us, you know, move the ball down the field.
So, well, the question was about the running backs in the passing game. But I had not heard him talking this glowingly about Tywan Jones before. It appears that Tywan Jones is not only making this team, but quite possibly going to be contributing.
Let's see. One thing, it was probably dumb of us to ever assume any NFL coach would be okay with two undrafted free agent rookies on the roster at the same time,
yeah.
Like Caron Higdon and Demarie Crockett. I think Crockett will make this team.
I think he'll be a practice.
And he could be. And both those guys could be practice squad guys.
I was thinking yesterday, because it's so undervalued, the fullback position, that really how many teams are using a fullback at all, is that Gillespie could be a... But it doesn't appear to be.
They drafted him, but still
it was a possibility to put him on the practice squad, because who's going to grab him?
No, he's a lock. They view him specifically as a special teams ace.
Right.
That's why they draft him. Brian Gain told me the day after the draft, or actually the last day of the draft, I had a chance to talk to him. I don't think it's – I can talk about this. We were talking about all the draft picks, and he said – I didn't think he was really ready as a fullback. He looks like he's got a long way to go. He said, we view him as a special teamer with a chance to develop as a fullback, but we think he's got a chance to be an ace on special teams. And he said, if he doesn't work out, it's a late round pick. And they've been happy with him. Bill O'Brien mentioned him on teams right there. So I think he makes it as the Brian Braman. And then I don't know. I mean, it is interesting to talk about for Bill O'Brien to be mentioning him as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Maybe they envision him as being a potential third down protector and kind of their own heavy set when it's third and long, maybe, or they expect to get blitzed. Maybe that will be something he does, but it was interesting to hear him talk about him. But Tywan Jones, that is a little bit of a surprise for me. But he's a former NFL starter.
Yeah.
Lots of NFL reps and experience in camps. So if you're looking at Lamar Miller, unless John Clayton ends up being right and they say, oh, you got Duke Johnson, Tywan Jones, and Lamar Miller's gone, unless they were to surprise everyone and cut him because they got two veterans.
That is the least likely scenario, I think. I just don't say it, because they don't need any cost cutting. The only reason that you would cut Lamar Miller is because of cost cutting. And why do they need that? You don't
accept that you are paying actual real money. And if you don't think you get value out of that.
Okay. You're going to your number one back. And listen, Bill O'Brien has made no.
No, you're right. I mean, you're probably right. I'm just. John Clayton had an article.
Bill O'Brien has said, you know, it's Lamar Miller and everybody else. I mean, so if you're going to go into this season where you think you can win football games, I mean, Pat Starr, when this preseason, said that if they trade Jadeveon Clowney, they're not serious about winning. Pat Starr had said that. And then when I came out last week about with the J.D. Clowney stuff, he was like, yeah, if they trade him, yeah, I'm staying with it. They're not serious about winning. If they get rid of Lamar Miller just to save $5 million, they're not serious about winning. If just to say, because it's not like, oh, we got to cut costs so that we can add someone else to this roster. That's not the deal. They're just trying to save money that they're paying to a player. That's BS. If they cut Lamar Miller for that.
I don't have a problem with that if they don't think that the guy's worth, if you don't think somebody is worth paying and you can get some, look.
Who is it that's going to be better?
Than Lamar Miller? Duke Johnson?
You're going to give Duke, wait a minute, how many reps you given, how many carries well, that, you given Duke Johnson? Well,
that's what I'm saying. Lamar's stuff could, I'm really actually playing devil's advocate here, but you could end up giving the reps from Lamar Miller to Duke Johnson and Tywan Jones. That's a possibility. And there are going to be running backs with NFL experience who you're going to see some names go, whoa, that guy could, it happens every year where guys get cut, you know, let's say Chris Thompson got cut or CJ Anderson were to get cut. Well, CJ won't get cut. But let's say something like that happened. Who knows? I mean, I still, one of the ways the Kansas City rebuilt themselves and the Colts rebuilt themselves, it's they scoured the waiver wire. Like Kenny Moore is a starter. They got him off waiver wires. He's the slot cornerback.
Wait a minute. This is an 11-win. We were told this is an 11-win team that won the division last year. You got to rebuild yourself right now?
The back end of the roster, you're always building. Well, and the middle of the roster, you're always rebuilding.
This is the guy that you brought in that had, I mean.
Is it 11-win team? You didn't seem to think so last year.
They think so.
No, do you think so?
No, I don't think so.
Then what I'm saying is not crazy at all. Your roster is not great. It's not deep. It's not. You still have lots of room for improvement.
Well,
on that
cutting Lamar Miller does not do that.
No, I don't care about cutting Lamar Miller. To me, Lamar Miller getting 200 carries or getting 20 carries is the same. He's not going to have big impact on the game.
No, but I just can't believe that. I just can't believe that they would cut him just to save $5 million. I don't believe it. I don't know. If they do, that...
What's the only thing that makes sense is you don't think he's worth his contract? Because I don't know why else you would cut him.
No. I have no idea why you would cut him. All right, let's take a break.
But John Clayton, for him to say that, he either knows something or the better answer might be that he's just way out of touch with this roster and where the Texans are. Like, in other words, unless you said Duke Johnson can do the exact same thing, but I don't think they got Duke Johnson to be a primary back.
No. Actually, his dead cap would be $1 million, and you would save 6.2 off.
You'd save $5.2 million.
And his yearly cash is 6.2. That's it.
Yeah, you'd save $5.2 million.
What the hell?
$5.2 million is a lot of money. Is that... Would you like to have $5.2 million in your pocket? If I ask you, John Granato, would you like $5.2
million? Yes.
Thank you. Good night. Let's talk about my friends over at
Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge. Oh.
No. I'm talking about my friends at Texas Custom Patios.
I wanted to talk about Nick. Okay.
You can later.
Go ahead.
Texas Custom Patio. I'm talking about Steve and Shell. He had a good time up here at our listener appreciation party.
He and his brother-in-law and
his friend, and I can't say enough about him. When I first met him, I went searching for his work. I'm the one that got him on the radio. He listened to sports talk, but he was one of those guys who said, yeah, you know, I don't know if radio makes sense for me. I said, absolutely. I mean, I'm a guy who went out and found you. I was looking for someone to build a patio, and a lot of people, I went to Twitter, and people said, check out this place. And I saw some decent places. I saw some that I didn't think were very good. But then Texas Custom Patios really, really stood out with the work that they did. And I talked about the process yesterday of from start to finish, how they map everything out and they stay on track. They get you the permits very quickly, very seamlessly. They handle, you know, the cleanup and making sure that the workplace is a clean work site every single day that they're working. They stay on track. They have one fixed price and it doesn't change. But how about this? How about the results? Go online to tcplance.com, and I want you to see what my backyard looked like before and what the outdoor living area looks like now in the exact same space. You'll be blown away. All these before and afters are just incredible that you can find on their website, TexasCustomPatios.com. You've got a chance to really add value to your home and make that house a home with an outdoor living space from my friends at Texas Custom Patios. Let the pictures do the talking. Go there and see what they can do for your home at TexasCustomPatios.com. Go to TCPLance.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Make no mistake about this, okay, Lamont? Damn, John, you're going to back for freaking Lamar Miller. You're acting like we're by prime Bo Jackson. No.
Unbelievable.
No, make no mistake. I call him Skates because as soon as he gets into the secondary, he falls down. Okay? Make no mistake about it. I do not think Lamar Miller is the answer at running back for any football
team. You're acting like Lamar Miller's the ultimate running back stuff.
But this is, you don't cut your number one back right before the season starts to save $5 million and think and say, well, we're fighting to be a champion. No. That's not what you're doing here. You know what? They should have addressed the running back position well before this. They did nothing at the position. They did nothing at wide receiver when Will Fuller and Kiki QT both out again. They did nothing. Okay? I understand you can't fill every position. Priority one was the offensive line. Yes, they did that. Good thing they brought in another tight end. Good Lord, you got 12 of them that are going to make the roster now.
It is. You know, the more I think about it, the more curious that really is because had they already signed Darren Fells by the time they brought Waring? They couldn't have. Darren Fells
had to have been after. They drafted two last year. They drafted another one. They pick up Fells.
I wonder,
boy, that tight end position, better get that set.
Were they okay? Were they okay when they drafted? So I understood drafting Waring because you said, okay, Jordan Thomas is not really an inline blocker, although he's getting better. Akins is not a plus blocker inline. And Kahale Waring is a big, you know, kind of C.J. Fedorowicz type of wide tight end.
He reminds me a lot of Owen Daniels, actually.
Well, I think he's potentially a better blocker to start off with. And he's bigger. He's 250. OD didn't come in as big as... Like, Kahale Waring is rocked up.
He's rocked.
He's like a James...
He doesn't look as big as 250.
If James Casey was 17 to 18 pounds heavier, that's what he looks like. He's still in concussion protocol. This is getting... I'm telling you now, it is lining up for him to be on IR. And if he's on IR, you can stash him, and you're going to have at least three, maybe four tight ends. The problem is he's not going to learn like he needs to learn as a rookie, and that's a little bit disappointing, I think. As far as Darren Fells, I'm trying to see when Darren Fells signed for the Houston Texans because it's strange to have this many. Houston, they signed Darren Fells March 19th. Maybe they just thought he was a camp body, but my dad really liked him at Arizona as a blocker. So I figured he was making that team. That's why I wondered if they weren't happy with Akins. To be honest with you, Akins is the guy. When they did what they've done at tight end, I wondered, are they not happy with Akins?
Well, and Adams, too. I mean.
And they bring in Jarrell Adams, who has NFL experience.
And did nothing at wide receiver. I mean. Nothing at running back. Nothing at wide receiver.
They're not veteran at wide receiver at all. Steven Mitchell, not really veteran. Vincent Smith, not a veteran. Tyron Johnson is undrafted free. Steven Lewis, who they had, and they've already waived. He was not. I mean, that's an undrafted rookie. It is a little strange that DeAndre Carter has veteran experience, and he was with you last year.
Yeah, he brought him last year.
I thought they might bring in a couple of. I'm okay with them trying to develop. Here's the real problem. The guy walked off the field yesterday, Will Fuller. Because you can't trust him, you're caught in this. if Will Fuller was durable, you could say, oh, you know what? We want to try to develop Vincent Smith or Tyron Johnson, or we want to develop these guys at the back end. Instead, you're the Houston Texans, and you got to be looking at it. And you, and
this guy's got to be on the field.
This is the mistake that I think they made, and you do too. You got to go get a veteran who, you know, if Will Fuller goes out, they can step into the role. Now, they gave up a draft pick last year.
You mean like Demaryius Thomas?
Like, that's exactly what I was going to say. They gave up a draft pick, a fourth rounder. Was it third or fourth? I think fourth, for Demaryius Thomas last year. And he didn't have anything left in the tank. That's just the sad reality. Is his name was nice, but he didn't have anything left. So they even acknowledged it last year. But Will Fuller was out for the year. But it would have been nice to see them. And that's why when cutdowns come, Vincent Smith, Tyron Johnson, all these fast guys that can get down the field, that's great. Y'all can also go spend some time potentially on practice squad if need be, or fighting for the sixth spot. I think the Texans need to go get a real receiver with NFL experience. They're not going to be a sexy name. They're going to be off the waiver wire, but you can find somebody who can step in for Will Fuller when he gets hurt. Because now it just looks like it's a matter of time, it feels like to me. Now, it may seem like I'm overreacting based on Bill O'Brien saying they manage reps. Well, you can manage reps without a guy walking off the field in the middle of practice. That doesn't sound like a managing reps to me. That sounds like something happened.
Yeah.
Will Fuller gets me in a bad mood. He gets me in a good mood and a bad mood.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because when he's on the field, that is an explosive offense. When he's off, like, I've never seen one guy have such an enormous impact on an offense like that.
What's Kiki? What about Kiki? What about Kiki? Where's he? Did he walk off the field yesterday? No, he's not been on the field. What about Carlos Correa? How's he make you feel? How's Carlos Correa make you feel right now, Lance? Good about yourself?
I'm just...
By the way, he's going to be back sometime in maybe the first 2 weeks of September. Mm-hmm. Four to six for Ryan Pressly. How's your day going? Great.
Ryan Pressly's is going to be back in 4 to 6 days?
4 to 6 weeks or something.
What is going on? Is that a real thing, or are you just saying or something? Is it really 4 to 6 for him?
Yeah.
For Ryan Pressly?
Yeah.
Do you know how bad that is?
Right before the playoffs, I guess.
Do you know how bad that is? Well, so what they're doing is they're just saying, we're not doing this anymore.
Yeah. He had to have a procedure, a minor procedure. How's your day?
Hey, look, the Astros have been very fortunate relative to the Yankees, so I can't complain.
No, well, the Yankees. No, you can't compare it to the Yankees. You can't compare anything to Nick's place either. 2713 Rocky Ridge. It's where we're having our draft. If you have a fantasy draft, if you haven't set up your place, even if you have set up your place, cancel it and go to Nick's. We do ours at Nick's, our Jaeger Bum. It's awesome. It is awesome. He's got, I call it the European side, because he used to have gelato over there and stuff, and it's where a lot of people watch like stupid soccer or something. And you can have that entire side over there for your draft. That's what we do. We take it over, say, Nick, guess what? This is our side. We put up our board. We still use a board. You know, we do what we do. But here's the deal is if you're looking for the best place for your fantasy, because the pizza is so good, get the pepperoni with a little bit, make sure that they a little bit burnt on the bottom. It's crispy. It's awesome. Get he's got everything. He's got, if you're on a diet, he's got salads there. I don't know why you eat a salad there, but you can do what you want. He's got beer drink specials for you when you draft. It's awesome. It's the place to watch all of your college and pro football games, because he's got TVs. He will find the game that you want. He's got every single game that is on, he will find it. That's what's best about Nick's place, is they are the best with the TVs. Nobody comes even close. So if you're looking for that place for your fantasy draft or just to watch games, it's 2713 Rocky Ridge. It's Nick's place.